Here's a story I wanted to tell you today as we think about what it means to remember the child. Back when I was about 13 or 14 years old, I remember going with my family to the airport to pick up my dad after some trip he had made, probably summer Navy duty, but maybe it was a GE thing he was doing because he worked for GE. That was back in the days when air travel was really pretty exciting. They gave you food on the airplane. Anybody remember that? Real food on the airplane. And they let you go out to where the planes were to greet your loved ones as they arrived home. That's a long time ago. We were pretty excited to be there to pick up Dad. And as I recall, sort of as a bonus, some of our friends were there picking up someone from their family. So we kind of got to be excited together and wait together for our arriving passenger, and then wait down in the luggage area for the suitcases to arrive, and then we went out to the parking lot together. It was really a lot of fun. It was a big day. And on the way home, here we are in our station wagon, chattering away, telling Dad what all we'd been doing while he was gone, asking a little about his trip and what he'd been doing, and then somebody asked the question, "Where is Becky?" Well, with a family of seven packed into one of those old station wagons, back in the days before seat belts or child seats or anything, it was possible to have someone hiding on the floor or tucked in the back with the suitcases, but it didn't take long to see that Becky just wasn't there. So Mom or Dad or whoever was driving found a real quick way to turn the car around on the expressway, and back we went to the airport. Getting out of the parking lot, racing into the airport itself, and there Becky was. She was about 9 years old, standing near the televisions in the lobby. I think there were two of them. She was trying to look invisible. It was only after we showed up looking for her that she began to cry. I, of course, considered Becky a pest at that time in our lives, but even I hated to have her left at the airport. But having told this story, you understand that I know that it is really sometimes important to remember the children, to keep them with you, to help them know what's going on. So today I wanted to ask a question, or maybe a couple of questions. One is, do we remember how important children are to God? And maybe secondly, do we remember how important we are as children of God ourselves? And maybe overall, what does that mean for us to think about the role of children and the role of being childlike in our lives? So to answer that first question, I would say yes, here at Hope we do believe children to be important. In fact, we have Vacation Bible School starting here tomorrow. There should be something like 40 kids here in the sanctuary and in our classrooms and out on the playground or out under the trees learning about Jesus, learning games and songs and laughter and praying together. And lots of you will be here to help out. Thank you. Thank you for planning to be here. And others of you have contributed in one way or another, bringing things like 10 brooms or 10 beach towels. I think they needed 40 beach towels. Or pool noodles. How many of you brought pool noodles? There were some people who did that. Or marbles. I think they wanted 100 marbles or something like that. Crazy things they asked for. Or maybe your $10 or $20 or $100 helped the leadership team purchase what they needed. Thank you. Thank you for the ways that you participated in the Vacation Bible School ministry here at this church. This week, Vacation Bible School and all the efforts we've put in to make it a success, that tells us that children are important to us, to this church. And I know that VBS is just 1 week. I know that. But partner that up with weekly Sunday school classes for kids almost every Sunday all year long, and Wednesday night a live program for kids during the school year, and family events that are scheduled here and there all year long. And then there's our youth group, which meets each week and has a mission week coming up in July. Children are important in the life and work of this church. That's true, even though I admit there are plenty of times when we find children loud and distracting. I won't ask you to raise your hand if that's true for you. And that's especially true, though, I think, for some of us who don't have children around every day. We kind of get used to the quiet and the sense of order that you may not have when children are there in your lives. Children, you see, can be a distraction and even a bother. But the truth is that children can be and often are an absolute delight, a gift from God that reminds us of what life is and should be. In Connecticut, where our daughter lives now, there's an old elementary school that got outdated and was retired, but it got transformed into two things. It now houses both a senior center and a preschool. That's a fascinating model, isn't it? Both those things in the same place. And the seniors in the older adult center look forward to having the children come to participate in some of the activities of their center and to bring songs or crafts that they've done in the preschool so that the senior citizens can see them. They love hearing their voices and their laughter. So it turned out in that community to be a very good idea to combine those age groups. So yes, children can be loud and distracting, but they can also be a delight. We know that. So the history of this church, both from Hope Church at 1698 South Belcher and from Highland Church over on Avenue, both those churches and their stories have been filled with stories of children learning about the love of God, learning about worship, learning about mission and ministry together in their churches. Over the years, I've heard some of the Highland folks have told me that Highland Presbyterian Church found itself with fewer and fewer children, so they made a decision to specialize in adult ministries. And they ended up without families with children. And some of them have given us some advice. Now, part of our Hope Highland, our combined merged church, they said, don't be without children. Don't do it. Don't try to become an adult church. And we listened to that, and we listened to our history, and we listened and looked to see how important children are for us. And so last Sunday, the session of our church took an important step. It affirmed some ministry priorities, things that are printed actually in your newsletter today. But one of these directly speaks to the role of children in the church community, and here's what our session decided. First, what I want to say, it's not listed first. The session commits Hope Highland, this merged congregation, to remain an intergenerational church, a church that includes all ages. That means, in fact, that the session knows the need and plans to put specific effort into the inclusion of children, youth, younger adults, and families into the work and worship of this church. We know that will take us being conscious to do that. And with that in mind, the session is requesting that all our ministries, all our groups, find ways to develop and encourage and support ministries that reach children, youth, younger adults, and families. And we know that will be a challenge for us. It means thinking in some new creative ways. It means being open to whatever noise and distraction and delight the children will be for us. It means asking God's Spirit to guide us in ways to include children and families and youth in our work together. So has Hope Presbyterian Church remembered the child? Has it remembered the importance of ministry to children? Yes, indeed it has. But have we done enough? Well, probably not. In fact, we're hardly started on this stage of our work together. But we can begin and need to begin to think about what the children in our church family need, what the families of our church with children or grandchildren need, what the children in this neighborhood and children, in fact, in the world need. Ways they need to hear, see, and feel the presence, power, and love of God in their lives. Harry and I left Thursday to drive to Atlanta to bring back those three beautiful children you see, our older son's children. While we were gone, some folks came to the church where you had a group of folks working to get ready for vacation Bible school in the classrooms and over here, and folks came because they had needs for housing and for food and for help with their rent, families with children, and they got told I would be here Sunday morning and those folks should come. So this morning I had a phone call and a visit from people who needed help. It's not easy to help people on a Sunday morning, and I had to tell them there wasn't much I can do. And here's the reality. We can help with rent, but we have to write a check. I don't give money out. I don't have money to give somebody $300 or $400, so I would write a check. That means Daisy would come on Friday and write the check, and Wayne or somebody would come by on Sunday and sign the check, and so on Monday you could get a check. But that's not much help if you are out of money today. What are some ways we might think about how we can help when the need is immediate? And part of what we do is send folks to RCS, to Religious Community Services, where they are more equipped to provide lodging and food and help. I found out that at RCS's Grace House, where families find shelter, they let folks stay a while to gather up some resources to get an apartment, but they don't let them go without other help to help them find jobs, to know how to interview, to get ready to be independent and able to sustain themselves out in the community. Some of them may be at VBS this week, and I hope they will be. Charles Campbell, who is a preaching professor at Duke Divinity School, wrote about Jesus and children, and he said, "Children who are the least valued and most vulnerable members of society." Now think about that. Are children the least valued and most vulnerable? In some cases, it is clear that they are. They are welcomed by Jesus. They were blessed by him. They are offered as models for all of us for how you receive God's kingdom. Campbell said, "At the heart of the matter for us is the disruptive work of Jesus Christ, who elevates those at the bottom of the social ladder." In this case, he's talking about children, folks at the bottom of the social ladder, into models for entering the kingdom of heaven. Jesus never saw people the way we tend to see people in levels of importance. So is Jesus revolutionary and disruptive? Well, we generally don't think of Jesus that way, but he does challenge us over and over again to think in new ways. And so he does challenge our viewpoints and our values. One thing he told his disciples and tells us is that one enters the kingdom of God only when we receive it in complete dependence upon God, just like we see in children who place their trust and depend on the adults who care for them. So look at how Psalm 145 instructs us. It says, "One generation shall laud your works, O Lord, to another. The generations must tell each other about God. Declare your mighty acts." Those are our marching orders. to tell the next generation about God, to find ways to do that, and this is one of those ways. Verses 5 and 6 in Psalm 145 say, On the glorious splendor of God's majesty and on God's wondrous works, we will meditate. We'll think about that. The might of God's awesome deeds shall be proclaimed. So there's work for us to do, to know God, to meditate, proclaim, and tell. And in verse 7, it gives us a vision and a hope. The generations shall celebrate the fame of God's abundant goodness and shall sing of God's righteousness. I love to tell the story. Let's tell the story. What we need to do is stay committed and pray about the needs of children and families and act when we sense God's call. So some ask Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus simply draws a child into the circle surrounded by his disciples and more and the crowds of people. He pulls a child in to his, basically right up to his knee. And he says, unless you change and become like children. Now why did they ask that? Because they like to be important, right? Who's the most important in the kingdom of heaven? They didn't think about it being a child. But unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me, he said. So let's be sure we remember the child and the children, the ones here among us. And remember the child we are, the child you are and I am. We must remember the trusting and accepting dependent ones we need to be. We must be alert to the needs of children wherever they are in the world, in the violent regions of Central America, in our own immigration system at our borders, in the war-filled streets of Syria, in the disease-ridden areas of Africa, in the homeless shelters of our own cities and towns. And in remembering the children, we must make space in our hearts, stretching past what is comfortable for us in our lives and in our ministries. Can you do that? I believe you can. I am bold enough to believe that we can do that. Last week, I read this line in a biblical commentary talking about this passage in Matthew and similar passages. Children are brought to receive Jesus' blessing. The children were brought to Jesus to receive his blessing, and so are we. And so are we. We don't earn it, but we receive it as the gift. So this week we'll see that in action with the children here at Vacation Bible School, and in the years to come we can develop ministries that bring children and their families to Christ through our work here at Hope Highland. Join us in praying about that. And then I want to sing this song for you, a song that has been a theme for me throughout my adult life. Come as a child. Come as a little child. Come with a smile of eagerness. Greet every day as a special gift of love. Even if you're old and gray, though you've come a long, hard way, come ready to sing and play and dance, ready to risk and take a chance. For of such is the kingdom, for of such is the kingdom. Come as a child, come with an open mind. Come through each door with humbleness.
Treat each new thought as a spark of holy light. Even if you're satisfied, proud and wise and dignified, come ready to open up your eyes, ready to learn and be surprised. For of such is the kingdom, for of such is the kingdom. Come as a child. Come with a trusting heart. Come face the world with innocence. Meet everyone as a friend to know and love. Even if you're sick and tired, disillusioned, uninspired, come ready to follow and explore, ready to lift your wings and soar. For of such is the kingdom, for of such is the kingdom. Come as a child.